Gethsemane. As we all know, Gethsemane was a village near Jerusalem by the foot of the Mount of Olives and near the brook of Kidron. There was a garden in this village where Jesus many times resorted thither with his disciples. When Jesus had carried out the Last Supper with his disciples, and after he had made that admirable prayer for them, neither for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on him through their word, so that they all may be one, as the Lord was in the Father, that they also be with him where he is, that they may behold his glory. He came out of the house that the supper was held in, and went to this garden with Peter, James, and John. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down, he made his prayer three times about himself. It was there in this garden that the Lord, along with his disciple, had many times found peace and comfort, and where he had private talks, prayers, spiritual love, and gladness with his disciples. It was also there where Judas betrayed him with a kiss. It was also there where Peter drew a sword and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear, which the Lord immediately healed. It was from this garden that the Lord's great drama had started to the Golgotha, and was in this exact garden where his disciples deserted him, so that the disciples might be fulfilled. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And following that, Peter denied him thrice before the cock crew. However, let us mentally transfer ourselves for a short while to the drama in Gethsemane, so that we may follow and study the different aspects of it. A cold night full of fear and terror. The Lord is alone, and all night were continuous inquiries from Annas to Caiaphas and from Pilate to Herod. Scourgings, mockings, strikes with the palm, and finally on the cross with a crown of thorns and between two thieves. The soldiers pierced him with the spear, and instead a worry they offer him vinegar with gall. And behind them the great enemy, the devil, and Satan, who had left him be for a while after the first trial he inflicted on him in the wilderness after his dedication on the Jordan River. At that time he tempted him by saying, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And now he is back, even more hardened, repeating the same temptation through the mouths of the passers-by. "Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Let us also make a look at the principals, the distinguished persons of that time. The chief priests, the elders, and the whole council sought false witness against Jesus. They rent their clothes, saying that Jesus spoke in blasphemy, and they were seeking a way to have him killed. Even Judgment Hall Pilate succumbed to the pretension of the officers and the chief priest, and after he scourged Jesus, he washed his hands, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this judge person. See ye to it." Let us observe at this point how excellent Jesus' character was, and let us try to enter into the depths of his heart and spirit. At first, Jesus sorrowful says to Judah, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Betrayest thou son of man with kiss? Following this, he says to Peter, Put up again thy sword in his place, and at the same time healed the servant of the chief priest. And then he surrendered to the uncommon chief priest and captains of the temple and elders, and after he first said to them concerning his disciples, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let this go their way. And following this, he added with kindness, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let us continue to observe him in the council of chief priests and in front of Pilate and Herod. The Lord answered nothing, and thus Pilate marveled. He did not bring any railing accusation whatsoever against his enemies. And even when he was on the cross between the two thieves, he was giving them hope of his kingdom. And he was especially concerned about his own. Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. What a sign of love. In the given name Gethsemane of this small village near Jerusalem, it contained the meaning of the greatest sufferings of the most righteous man in the universe and Son of God. When we pronounce this word, this is exactly what comes to the mind of every person, the most difficult trials and sufferings of a righteous person. There is no other place on earth other than Jerusalem, with its nearby village Gethsemane and the place called Golgotha, where such high ideals are consecrated. Such agonies and sufferings connected with God's righteousness, love, wisdom, and strength. Agonies and sufferings willingly suffered by one righteous person for the sake of the unjust, with such great godly fear and fervent prayers, so that every knee should bow of things on earth and things on heaven, on earth, and things under the earth, in front of this greatness one day. Such sacrifice that it will redeem millions of the people and will make peace even with the angels in the heavens. Even beyond this, the perfection of beauty Zion, exceeding grace for grace, which we, dear brothers and sisters, are receiving today. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, a love of Christ which passeth every knowledge. Gethsemane is the place where the ensign of the express image of the divine person of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will be eternally rising. From there, the perfection of God's beauty and the greatness of his wisdom, love, and grace will be visible. Let us observe for a little while longer the fast will of the Lord and the reasons for his agony, which have remained eternal heirlooms with the northwest title, Gethsemane Trials. The Lord Jesus said, The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? And again, as it is written, My cup runneth over. And again, as he said, Now is my soul troubled. And what I say, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. What fast will and faithfulness. Our Lord was fully and completely devoted to the act of doing his father's will, and was glad to do so even under the most unfavorable and humiliating condition, and even to the point of death, and by crucifixion at that. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and therefore doeth my father love me, because I lay down my life, and I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And we are also amazed by the Lord's great agony. O my Father, if be possible, let this cup pass for me. Nevertheless, not as will, but as thou wilt. The Lord's agony was, I have pleased my Father, I will triumph on the cross, my cup will become acceptable by my Father, I have secured the ransom for the world, I have fully glorified the Father. Here we can see his great agony in order to pass under the veil of the death before he walks towards the most holy of all, even beyond the veil of death. But a godly fear, noble thoughts, faithfulness, a love sacrifice for God's will in such great moments for the salvation of the world. Finishing, dear brothers and sisters, the Gethsemane of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us for a moment come to the members of Christ's body, the ones who the Lord loved as his own members. And the Lord said, can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And the answer must be, yes, my Lord, I do want and I can, but not with my merit and strength, but with yours. Take my will and my soul. We believe in you, and we trust in you. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. John chapter 5, verse 4. Amen.